Our speaker today is Sami Rasuli, who will speak about the Muslim peacemaker teams in Iraq and the building of peaceful relationships between people of Iraq and the people of the United States through the Iraqi Art Project, the Sister City Project, Water for Peace, and Letters for Peace. Sami is an Iraqi American. He left Iraq in the late 1970s, and he lived in the Twin Cities area for more than 17 years. Then in November of 2004, nearly 30 years after leaving, he returned to Iraq to help rebuild his country. During this time, he founded and he supported the development of the Muslim peacemaker teams, which are groups dedicated to the principles of nonviolence. He recently brought a delegation of 13 Iraqis from the city of Najaf to the city of Minneapolis as part of the Sister City Project. And it was through the initiative of the Prairie Social Action Committee that Prairie, as a congregation, became a member of the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice. And it was through that membership that we were made aware of his current speaking tour and arranged for him to speak to us. So, Sami, it's all yours.
Thank you very much. Okay. Actually, Mike is my driver, and he's in Chicago. He's down there to build peace. What you're seeing here, it's a flow of pictures. You're gonna see how we were successful to link the children of Iraq and children of America between the two cities, Minneapolis and Najaf, which were announced to be sister city last July 30th, when the city council members voted unanimously 12-0 that the children as well the adults of both cities should be announced as sisters and brothers. That was quite an accomplishment. Well, I'm really feeling warm despite the cold weather outside. I know when the first snowstorm started earlier last week, we got only in Minneapolis 2 inches, but you got, I think, 17 or almost a foot. Yeah, it's not fair. But again, I'm here in another Unitarian Universalist society where the big warm heart is, and I am telling you this because every time I'm in such community, I really feel home. So thank you for having me. In 1976, I was a young man, 24 years old, a math teacher, when the previous government of Iraq addressed the people and told them, hey, if you're not with us, you're against us. So the process of the Ba'athification started at that year, beginning with the education sector where I was working. They thought it's important to lead the young generation toward the pan-Arabism, and that was the main philosophy of the Ba'ath. Ba'ath is an Arab word, means Arab Renaissance or newborn Arab. And that political party philosophy, based on uniting all Arab countries in one, just like the United States of America. Maybe it would be USA too. Because again, United States of Arabia start with A2. And the people must live within a social free society. That was the main objective of that political party. And it was established, founded by a Christian Assyrian scholar named Michel Aflaq in 1947. So Syria became a country, Arab nationalist politically were inspired the young people in Iraq, so Iraq fell asleep because it's just next door. And therefore, Saddam Hussein, his colleagues, and his comrades and others, the party who adopted the Ba'ath Party, they started to Ba'athize the Iraqi people. Now, I just want to remind you, the first order put in place after the occupation in 2003, the second civil administrator, American civil administrator, Paul Bremer, if you remember, he set the first order among 100 orders he came with to build the new Iraq, and that was the de-Ba'athification. The second was actually the killer of Iraq as a state, to disband the army, Iraqi army, and have it dissolved. So Sammy, 24 years old, listening always to John Lennon and Voice of America, that was broadcast from Beirut, Lebanon, was inspired by the Western civilization, democracy and freedom. I felt there was no place for me to be in Iraq. I loved the objectives of the Ba'ath Party politically, to unite all Arab countries, nothing wrong with that. But the way that that particular party was imposed on us was really rejected by many people. But not too many people could leave Iraq at that time. I could leave. I had my uncle who lived in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and he said, Sammy, if you want to come, I can find you a job. And he did. So for 6 years, I was a teacher in United Arab Emirates in Dubai. But the rest of the population of Iraq stayed in Iraq, and they had no choice, only to become Ba'athi. They wanted to survive and support their families. Lots of young people loved the ideology of the Ba'athism, and they willingly joined that political party. But others, they just had to do it. In 1986, 10 years later, I was able to land on the land of the opportunities, the US. In 1992, I was so proud to feel an Arab leader, Boutros Boutros-Ghali, to assume his new office at the United Nations as Secretary General. And what amazed me at the time, that he topped his agenda with something first time I heard, was peace building. He felt across the world was a big deal of suffering due to instability on the political conflicts between countries or within one country. That what happened when Kuwait was invaded by Iraq, then Iraq was driven from Kuwait during the first Gulf War. But peace building was used widely since then, but never was explained or defined properly. So I was troubled with understanding what peace building is. For some reason, I had the interest to learn, but Boutros Boutros-Ghali never explained it to me. June 21st, 2001, I took the oath and became American citizen, and my dream became true. I was so happy. I didn't go to work. I carried that flag, driving around, letting everybody I know, friends and others, that I am an American now. Wow. At the end of that day, at the evening, I went home, and here my wife, my kids surprised me with a beautiful feast. Palestinian and Iraqi and little American, it was a cake. My wife was born in Lebanon, but she's Palestinian, her parents from Palestine. They were driven out of Palestine in 1948. So they settled in the south, in Sidon. Saida in Lebanon. So she always was generous enough to give me the taste of the Palestinian wonderful cuisine, falafel, baba ghanoush, hummus, and maqlouba. That's the upside down dish. And the cake, one flag from one side is American and the other flag is Iraqi. It was nice, said. We ate, talked, laughed, and before we had our tea after the meal, my youngest son, Tariq, was 12. I had three sons. I saw the other two kids staying in the corner at the living room, like they pushed him to talk to me. He said, Dad, just a minute, I want to congratulate you that you became an American. So we became Americans too. Well, congratulations to you, Tariq, too. He said, but Dad, you're not only gonna have the powerful ability to elect your next president, but you're gonna have also your international passport, so you'll be able to fly everywhere. You might go and visit your family in Iraq. Yes, indeed. He knew that my Iraqi passport was obsolete and I couldn't use it anymore. Then he added, but Dad, culturally, you're an American, you can use your middle finger too. I really did not expect to hear this from my youngest son, my own youngest son. And the other two kids were there, like they prepared this conspiracy. And they push him because he's the youngest and he was the beloved kid. And he's funny and smart. And he goes, Dad, can I use my middle finger? You always told us, you're Muslims, you cannot use this and this house because we are an American, but not anymore. Can I? Come on, make up your mind, Dad. You're an American, you're democratic, you're free. Then he just put me in the corner. I didn't have any resistance power anymore, despite the fact I am the powerful man and as an American in the world. I told him, what the heck? You can use it. And he gave me the finger. Those other two kids, they said, Dad, okay, this is yours too. They gave me the finger too. My wife was in the kitchen. She ran, she couldn't believe that this is allowed in our house. She gave me the finger too. Now I understood perfectly why she did, but I never understood why the kids did that to me. My own kids, my own blood, they did it to me. But that was good. That gave me the immunity. If anybody else outside of the home give me that finger, it would be okay because my kids gave me already. And probably that was my first step toward peace building. 2 months later, August 2001, because we kept a beautiful job at Simbad, it's a combination of Middle Eastern grocery, restaurant. We had 40 seats in the front. Then the grocery comes. Then in the back way, back an isolated area, we had a pita bread factory. It's a bakery. We made baklava and other pies like spinach pie, cheese pie, meat pie, and other stuff. So every year, we were listed the best Middle Eastern combination of food production in the Twin Cities area and beyond. Many publications, locally and national, written up us beautifully. But in August, that was a special treat for me, where I received the cover of the most prestigious Minnesotan magazine called Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. And here, in that month of 2001, my picture with big smile, red fez, red tie, white shirt, and red apron. So powerful colors, contrast, lots of makeup. Once I saw that, I went to all supermarkets and bookshelves, book stores, bought all the issues that carries my beautiful picture. And here the cashiers looks, man, what are you doing with all these magazines? I love the picture, man. They couldn't make the connection that I was, despite the fact I paid with my credit card, my name there, my name on the picture, and they didn't get it. Too much makeup. And all of a sudden, Sammy is not the powerful American, a new kid on the block, but a celebrity. Lines and lines and lines of people, mostly women, because that magazine deals with women issues. And one of my customers, who I love and dear much, he said, Sammy, always I have trouble with my wife because she keeps buying that. Nothing for men, only about wives. But when I saw your picture, I bought that magazine. The first time. Now, the community, Arab and Muslim community, they kept calling me and said, Sammy, you made it. We never seen a picture of an Arab in the American media. It's so beautiful, beautiful and powerful with colors. You made it. Congratulations. And we are proud of you. Wow. Celebration continues. And day after day, I won't exaggerate if I tell you I sold thousands and thousands of these magazines. I forgot about restaurant business, just the copies of the magazine on the counter, sign and go, pay, sign, go and pay. And it didn't take long, just 3-4 weeks. And no celebration. September 12th, 2001, I was home, scared, feeling down, confused. I didn't want to be public anymore. Not as an owner of Sinbad, or as that powerful, beautiful cover featured there, and even as an American, or Iraqi, or Muslim, because as a Muslim, became more public at that day. I didn't want to go to work. My wife recognized, they said, Sam, you have no other option. This is your job, and you need to live. This is the only source of income. You better go and open Sinbad's. I went there, and the staffers, the people who helped to make Sinbad's a successful operation, business place, they were there waiting. I was a little bit late. They opened Sinbad's, helping with that. I had a couple, a husband and a wife, Lebanese Christian, Moronites, from Lebanon. The husband always made the pita perfectly in the back. And his wife, Hayat, means life. She managed Sinbad's in the front. So I told her, Hayat, I'm going to help Tony. But Tony never needed my help. I couldn't stay in the front, looking in the eyes of the customers. I had no answers or any material to talk about except what happened the other day. And I couldn't stay. So I told her, please take messages. I'm not wrong. She said, okay. I was back helping Tony, but about noon, she came running and said, Sammy, there are two ladies in tears. They asked for you, and I'm concerned about your kids. Would you go out? Hopefully nothing happened. I was out in seconds, looking at the faces, recognizing long-time Sinbad's customers, but didn't recall names. And I came, approached them. Please, what's going on? Why are you crying? Tell me. They said, we need a couple of minutes of your time, Mr. Rasool. They gave me a piece of paper. They said, this is for you. Their names, phone numbers, an address, home address. They said, keep this. We are worried of your life. Last night, we saw in the news, a Mexican, looks like Middle Eastern, was chased and killed in New Jersey. Another guy, restaurateur just like you, doing his business in Phoenix, Arizona, but he was Sikh, wore a turban from India. He was not a Muslim, he was not an Arab, and he was shot to death. We thought of you. By the way, we are Jewish from St. Louis Park. Wow. We are your sisters. Sami, you made this beautiful oasis for us as a second home. Whenever we wanted to have a taste of Middle East, we come here, enjoy the aroma of the spices, the beautiful music, the belly dance, the food, the most importantly, your warm welcome. You are our brother. We are one. And don't disappoint us. Please, our home is yours. If you feel your life is threatened or your family members, don't hesitate. Come over, please. I woke up. I'm empowered now. I'm not confused or scared, feeling down no more. I have sisters, and they help me to understand what peace building is, that Butros Ghali failed. They were successfully removing all those walls, whether they are psychological or by identification, or they are physical. They offer me the first lesson, how to build peace. And then I realized that in a process to have an identity, we build barriers, because I want to be me, not you, and you are you, not me. But those barriers are artificial. That's what they taught me. And then said, aha, peace building need transformation in the relationship between one to another. Well, thank you, sisters. But they helped me to bring some tears to my eyes. I looked around and found Hayat just behind me, crying, listening, because she was concerned. And I asked Hayat, would you bring us warm meals to share together? And you should join us. And in seconds, Jewish, a Muslim, and a Christian, sharing food together. But not only that, we shared our worries, concerns, hopes, and dreams, visions, and we asked ourselves, how could we get over this difficult time? It didn't take us long. We decided to form a group called a Jewish-Muslim dialogue, where we could meet once a week, bi-weekly, once a month, or whenever we could, but most importantly, to bring our children with us to see, watch us, how we honor each other, how we respect each other, and how we share what we have together. It went beautifully. We did meet. And actually, our group had expanded. Many people from different backgrounds, ethnically or religiously, politically, they joined us. And that group branched out across the state and beyond. And actually, I arrived with those 13 delegates on the September 18th, last September, 2009. Since then, I participated at least in four functions called interfaith dialogue. One of them was at the Islamic Center. There were three women, a Jew, Buddhist, and a Muslim. They told us their stories, their life's experiences. We shared it. It was beautiful to hear. It was about how they were able to break the barriers. And at the end of their presentation, the second segment was discussion among the people who were attending. And we were about 50 of us, divided in on tables like that, like 8 to 10 people. But the our program was, we have to be from different backgrounds, so we'd be able to exchange our thoughts and our experiences. At the table I was sitting, there was the Muslim center president, Mr. Owais, and another Muslim, a woman named Khadija. He said, Sami and Khadija, you have to move to another table because we are many Muslims here on this table. And my response was, I'm not moving, you move. He said, how come? I told him, I converted. He said, with a smile, you're kidding. I don't know, I'm a peacemaker. The two Jewish women taught me
how I build peace and how I bring those barriers down. We are here people. We are here human beings. It's not about dialogue, because dialogue might lead to an argument than to a fight. We're here about interfaith action to prove we are one. And again, identity, it doesn't mean walls and dividers. Identity just means and containers to facilitate and ease our journey in life, to organize us, but never to divide us. We are us and they are them. No. He said, Sammy, this is a long story. It's interesting, but you have to move. I told him, no, you move. So he did move. And the others and Khadija didn't move. And they said, well, why don't you tell us what you've been doing in Iraq, Sammy? I did. Peace building. Peace building requires not only to break down the barriers between a person to person, community to community, or a country to a country. Our culture needs to be transformed. Therefore, we went to the polling centers on November 4th and we voted for change. Yes, we can. Because the change we need that require transformation in our culture. Those 13 Iraqis I was able to bring last September, not long ago, and still are labeled, according to the stereotype, as terrorists. But they were determined to come with me to find out about the other side of the American society, American culture. Many sides are not known by the rest of the world. Therefore, the image of this country went way back. Because Iraqis were introduced to the American people, American culture, more than three occasions. I'll skip the first one and come back to it. But the second one was the first Gulf War, when they saw thousands and thousands of Americans in their equipment in military forms. Also in 2003, that their country was invaded and followed by the occupation up to this minute. Well, the third one, the first one, I don't know, but I should take you way back. When the Iraqis and other Muslims and Arabs watched the Western movies, how John Wayne flipped and keep holding his pistol to restore justice and peace by force. Or watching Rambo, Rambo 1, Rambo 2, Rambo 3, Rambo 4, like one is not enough. The 13 delegates rode, flew above the ocean, the physical divider, the physical barriers between Iraq and the U.S. They didn't care for the interrogation when they applied for the visa at the Baghdad U.S. Embassy, hours and hours, with silly questions. They landed in Washington, and here the Homeland Security Office in Washington, 4 hours interrogated them, asking them, they were all people, asking them about their mothers and fathers, how tall is the father, how, what kind of way he did have, and do you know how to do bomb, and were you Ba'athi? Did you serve in the, again and again, Homeland Security, money and money spent for this newly invented department. They want to justify it, and trying to make their living and justify it through these interrogation, which is still the 13 delegates, they told them, we want to see our sisters and brothers. We don't care. Let us go, please. Because they had to fly to Chicago, then to Minneapolis. And here, at the airport in Minneapolis, the Iraqi flags were waving, the balloons, and happy people that they are getting reunited with their brothers and sisters, in tears, telling them, we are sorry for what happened to your brothers and sisters. The war is not in our name. And George Bush was elected as president. Never met such beautiful, nice, kind people who took them to their homes, sat face to face, person to person, looking in each other's eyes, exchanging the real culture, providing them their cool refrigerator, but room, warm rooms, warm beds. They shared their house because they were volunteers when they hosted them. And they broke the bread together. They realized their common humanity and their strive to be friends. Most of them, the American counterpart, told them, we thank your courage to come and visit the country that attacked you. They left. They stayed 2 weeks. They left, but the community still talking about it. They met hundreds and hundreds of Americans, sisters and brothers, and they initiated a beautiful relationship toward peace building. Doctors at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester are online, connecting with their counterparts in Najaf. At the Kufa University, exchanging their scientific knowledge about this case and that case. Educators in Minneapolis are planning, sending me a blueprint, colored plan works to initiate, to build school called School for Peace in Negev that accommodates 2,000 students starting kindergarten up to high school. And the trip of this 13 delegates was only, the cost was $35,000. Half of that they paid in form of flying tickets. They did pay, the Iraqis. And the other half, the locals in the Twin Cities, raised the money to host them, feed them, and transport them. Steve Clements, a Mennonite, who was the designated driver, drove them 14 days from 8:30 in the morning until 7 p.m. Their schedule was so tense, intensive, and busy. They met city council people, Keith Allison, the congressman of Minnesota. They met the Mr. Rayback, the mayor of Minneapolis, and others and others, and always they made it clear that the U.S. government has the moral and legal obligation to rebuild Iraq, because Iraq was destroyed by the first Gulf War and the second Gulf War, 2003, and still, and the U.S. troops must leave Iraq. So we could build the decent and fix our relationship, which is broken. Therefore, change, peace building, according to an Iraqi old proverb, said, if you want to weave a basket, you have to start from bottom up. Therefore, change, which we are trying to build through grassroots movement, people-to-people diplomacy. Dwight Eisenhower, a Republican former president, came up with this brilliant idea, Sister City Program in 1956. We took advantage of that. Our sister city organization called Iraqi American Reconciliation Project, based on Minneapolis. See, I'm not using this. And nobody is complaining. That's nice. That's peace building. I see. Is he? It's too loud. Okay. Do you hear me, sir? Can you hear me? Thank you. Change is not about deploying troops from Iraq to Afghanistan. I was in one of the western cities, towns in Minnesota, traveling, getting there to deliver one of my presentations. And in front of that city, the city hall building, was displayed a giant tank. And the gun of the tank was aimed, for sure, is not overseas, it's a place in overseas, it's somewhere in America. But that tank was not too far from a beautiful playground where kindergarten is, just next to it. And I saw the kids going up to the slide, sliding, looking at that tank. We're talking about transformation in our culture, how the peace building requires, and it's a must when we really want change, to see others differently, to see the rest of the world as we are part of it, not above it. Now, I imagine my little grandson or granddaughter at the top of that slide, looking at that tank, and keeps messages coming to her or to him. Well, you're safe because that tank is protecting you. America is safe because the rest of the world are enemies, our enemies. Well, if you want to be more safe even, you have to ride that and drive that tank when you grow up. In Najaf, we're not a government, we're not occupier forces, Muslim peacemaker teams. We were able to raise fund with our sister organization here in Minneapolis to buy soccer balls and come to the communities and ask the kids to trade, give us their toys, gun, and give them a soccer ball or other toys that they could learn and consolidate their education when they go to school. Like those things they count 1 to 10 for little boys and children. In Iraq, when we traveled with the Christian peacemaker teams, members that we met coincidentally, and they helped us to create the Muslim peacemaker teams. We went to Fallujah as Shia Muslim, 15 of us, appeared on that side. I'm sorry, I didn't ask how much time I have. Are we doing okay on time, term? Great. So in Fallujah, we picked up garbage as a Shia Muslim and a Sunni Muslim. This is beginning 2005, with the Christian from the US and Canada. The Fallujahans were surprised to see us doing that because the previous 2 years, 2004, 2003, they never seen garbage collectors on the streets to clean. Garbage was everywhere, flies and debris and the signs of the war. They came and approached us and said, "You don't look garbage collector. Who are you? Why you're doing this?" "Well, we are your sisters and brothers. We're here to offer you consolidation or what do you say? Right. They broke down and they asked us, "Okay, we get the message, please don't touch the garbage, let's go and pray together, cross street in the, on the mosque," and we did. 400 kids
the following week of school children, they send peace messages and bottles from in the Euphrates River that passes by Fallujah coming down.
Thank you very much.